Thank you, Father. We receive, O God, showers of blessings. Father, we will not take your word lightly. You said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Father, by faith we have received. We thank you that you have declared the month of May there will be showers of blessing. We come in agreement that this month will shower on us. We thank you that the month of May has been covered in the blood. And by the blood of the Lamb, we shall receive our blessings. Amen. You will defend us in the month of May. Amen. You will vindicate us in the month of May. Amen. You will open doors in the month of May. Amen. You will close the doors and the mouth of the enemy in the month of May. Amen. Father, we thank you that we have entered into the month of blessing. Amen. The month of harvest. Amen. The month of your favor. Receive it, O God. We speak it forth. And we thank you that the fruit must come. We give you glory. We give you honor. We are not serving you in vain. We are not serving you in vain. If you believe that God has given victory in the month of May, shout hallelujah. If you believe that if you agree with this month based on the promises and the proclamation of the word of God, that you want a testimony. A testimony is when things go from the spirit to the physical. You want a testimony in the month of May. Shout the loudest hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we have said amen. Amen. Father, we have praised you in advance for our blessing. Yes. We thank you for the highest praises. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, receive it as thanksgiving. Amen. For what you have done. Yes. Before we say thank you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lamb of God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. That you've gone ahead of us into this month to clear the way, to make a way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Your favor bypasses protocols. Let your favor bypass every hindrance in our lives. Thank you, Father. We receive our harvest. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here this morning. Tell somebody, I'm glad you're here. Amen. When Maddie, you just graduated from Lee, isn't it? Huh? Next May, okay. Amen, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's Delight? Delight is hiding behind the camera. She here? Hi, Delight. You just graduated, is that? Okay. Timmy or Joe, you've graduated a long time, isn't it? Okay. I'm saying that for a reason. When Timmy went to college, or the like, or any of us, any of you that have been in any profession, trade, it doesn't have to be college, you go into to learn something. What you are trying to learn is to make you become that thing, isn't it? Amen. So you go to school for it, or a training. So at some point, what you have been learning, what you've been learning and learning and studying, you go into internships or practicals, you go through the whole learning process. At some point, you become what you learned, isn't it? You graduate. If I ask Timmy right now, he's into the computer world. In your company, the job they ask you to do, when you come to the office, do you go bring out all the books that you were using in Lee University at that moment to be able to do that job? That knowledge has transformed him to become what the job needs done. A doctor did not become a doctor overnight. Amen? He went to school and studied and studied and studied and studied and did practice and went to all the process. At some point, everything he studied, he becomes a doctor. Amen? Now, when a doctor, when you're on an operating table, somebody's bloody, everywhere is ripped, the person is on all kinds of machine, and the person is there on emergency. Does the doctor go bring out books and say, let me study how to do operation, how to stitch this, how to take off? Is that what the doctor does? The doctor has become the book. It goes with every profession, whether you are you make cars, whatever area, whether you're a pilot. How many of you know that by your action you can prove it? That if they tell you that pilot looks at manual when he flies plane, you might not fly that airline. Amen. That pilot took years, time, to be certified by the government, by different agencies, and he has gone through so many practicals, and he's become a pilot, meaning he has become the book. When you become what you have been you've been reading and practicing, you become an answer to that need. The reason the Lord was pressing in my heart to begin this way. Paul made a comment to the church at one point. He says, they are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of Christ. The reason I'm saying I'm glad you're here, is the Lord wants to remind all of us of something today. If somebody never ever becomes a pilot and is in school all their life, none of us will be flying in the air. If somebody never ever gets to the point he graduates to become a doctor, many of us will be dying of our illnesses. This book is not to be let as the rest of our life. This book is a person. It's not a book, it's a person. If we never come to the knowledge of that person, and all we're doing is still studying to about this person, we'll never know who we are. Because this person said, the moment we are born again, we are born in his image and likeness. There's a reason why Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Because in the beginning was what? And the word was what? And the word was what? Now, that's the word, that's God. The word became flesh. What does that mean? Jesus didn't become flesh and all of a sudden, of course he was born by the Spirit, but he put on flesh. He just knew everything. He had to study the word. He had to live, eat, drink this word. He had to feed his born again person until he was matured. And the Bible says the word became flesh and we saw his glory. What does it mean the word became flesh and we saw his glory? It means God became a person in the flesh, not letters. In 1 John it says, so his own came to him. He came unto his own and they did not know him. They did not know him. How will God become flesh and come to you and you're seeing all the miracles and he says to you, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. How will God say, I have come to fulfill everything that you've been wanting because I am God in the flesh? If you don't believe me that my Father sent me, believe me for the works. For 3 years, he preached this with signs and wonders. For 30 years, he ate this word to become. He says he came to his own knew him not, and they rejected him. Why? They were still reading the Bible. They were still quoting scriptures to him. They were still preaching to him, and he was right there. Any generation that does not know that this thing, this book, is a person, will not become that person. You keep reading and keep searching. We have to graduate at some point. This is not meant for head knowledge. It's for transformation. Think about it. Timmy graduates from college, a doctor, whoever graduates from anything, and you go to company or anywhere you want to work, or they certify you, hospital. You'll be tested to prove. Are you really a doctor? Did you really study computer? Are you really an engineer? Are you really this? Are you really that? What is the proof? Tests. Trials. Trials are not evil. It's meant for evil. But trials prove who you are. So the first thing that happened to Jesus, as soon as God says, he's graduated, he's my son now, he's gone from knowledge to person, that's my son, in my image, he carries my DNA, he has graduated. Satan says, okay, prove it. For 40 days, are you a son? Are you a son? And so for 40 days after then, Jesus confirmed, yes, I'm a son. He said, go ahead and do anything you want. You have a right to rule. You have a right to reign. This is your father's kingdom. Trials. This morning, the Lord wants to remind us. And the whole reason is that we don't just keep shooting so many things. Some people say, Jack of all trades, master of none. As I was waiting on the Lord, he just was bringing this to my heart. There are so many parables. So many parables Jesus gave. But if you, those of you that are scholars of the Bible, you will see that he gave a lot of parables about the lost. The lost son. The lost coin. The lost this. The lost pearl. He was giving this parable in the Gospels. Everything lost, lost. And each time you say, when this is found, there was a great joy. When this is found, there was a great joy. Each of those, he was very specific. The lost coin was coin, money. Coin. It wasn't goat. It wasn't sheep. The pearl was pearl. The son was son. The lost son. We call him the prodigal son. It wasn't something, it was a lost son. The point is this. When you lose something, if you don't know what you've lost, you're wasting your time. When you lose something and you're looking for every other thing, it's a waste of time. But when you lose something and you know what you've lost, whether coin, whether son, whether, and you are expecting to find that thing and you're looking to find that, and that thing you lost is what you're seeking for and looking for and doing everything necessary. When you find that thing, great is your joy. When you find that thing, you rest. Amen. But as long as You lost something, and you're looking for every other thing. Pray the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to somebody. And you're looking for every other thing without really knowing what you lost. This is a sign that you know that you know, and you've not found what you're looking for. Is you keep looking, because every other thing you say you found has not satisfied you. When you find what you lost, you will be happy. You will be satisfied. You'll be at peace. But as long as you're not at peace, and you're still, say, I found this, I have this, but you're still not at peace, you don't know what you're looking for. Because when you find what you're looking for, you'll be at peace. So the Lord wants me to say to you this morning, as He was dealing with me, so that everyone here, that's why I say I'm glad you're here. What I'm about to tell you will bear witness the rest of your life. It will bear witness because you will never again say you did not know what you lost. You'll be responsible if you don't find it, but you'll never say, I don't know it again. We're going to read a few scriptures, sir. See this whole Bible, this whole scripture. Every story from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Him. The whole story from Genesis to Revelation is about, from Genesis in the garden, when God lost His son and He called him the first Adam. Now, when you hear me talking, if you said the scriptures, you will know I'm speaking to you by the scriptures. The first Adam was lost after his eyes was opened from sin. The Bible says the second Adam came, whom Satan tested to make sure this is the Son of God. The Bible called him the second Adam. There's a reason why He called him the second Adam, for understanding and for clarity. The first Adam was a living soul. He said the second Adam was a living spirit. So the first Adam is what we call the prodigal son who lost. The second Adam, the manifestation of God, the Son of God. That's what this whole Bible is saying. The restoration of man to the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, I want you to know from the beginning, God, like the prodigal son, he lost his son because of sin. We lost God. You all know the story. Now, God came in the flesh, manifested as His Son, and now we are adopted through Him to become sons. It's restoration. Amen? Here, what we lost, God lost His Son. What we lost is a father. He lost His Son, first Adam. Second Adam came, He gained once His Son. But what we lost is a father. Amen?
Amen.
And what Jesus came to restore is a father. He says, I will not leave you as orphan, but I will come back to you. Amen? So this whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is God losing a son, we losing a father. God bringing back a son, we getting back a father. If you understand what I'm sharing with you, it will change a lot of things you're about to hear and you've been hearing. Like everybody, we all have seasons of learning and growing. We all study this Bible, some of us. We read it because we want breakthrough. We want a miracle. We want to be ministers. We want to be apostles. We go to school. We want to be pastor. We want to be evangelists. We want to be, blessing. One this, one that. But Jesus said, who do men say that I am? It was Peter says, you are the Son of God. You're Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said this. God said this. Upon this understanding, this revelation, this rock, I will build my body, my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Revelation of what? Those who have discovered what was lost and they found it. Sons of God. Sons of God. Not sons of man. As a fallen man. Amen? Sons of God. Sons of God. Because we will not become sons of men from fall. Except a man is born again, you all know that, he cannot be a son. Amen?
Amen?
So when you are born again, you become a son. What are you going to be seeking after? What are you asking? What are you seeking? What are you knocking? What is it? My brothers and sisters, is to be restored to your father. It's to be restored to the father. A few weeks ago, we were celebrating Passover, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And the Lord was dealing with me, don't go after this whole messages we just preach for the season. Focus on the robe, the shoe, and the ring. And I know many of us, it's just easy to remember, it's easy to forget. But the Lord has been dealing with me this season. Keep everything I show you, keep it in that content of sons of God. understanding for what was lost, what was restored, what is important, because of the days ahead. The earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not a prophet, not this, not. You can be anything, a great minister, but if you don't know you're a son, you're in trouble. Your name has to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I was saying, okay, how do I relate this to your family? How do I let them know it's just this one, this loss of father, the absence? This whole scripture is all he's talking about. But there's one person among all the people in the Bible that the Lord has used to be very clear about this. To be very clear. In the Old Testament. And it was David. It was David. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open with me to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. Psalms 27. I want you to say it. Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to hear his voice, meaning to inquire in his temple. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, because that's where the test is. If you're the sons of God, test of Christianity. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he what? Hide me. He shall set me up upon what? A rock. Verse 6. And now shall my what? My head be lifted above what? It's round about me. David, as a young boy, was raised in a wonderful home. Grew up in a great home with mighty, wonderful siblings, all faithful Israelites, many of them in the army, serving the nation. But David, at a young age, have read, have heard everything everybody else has read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's read this book. He's read the law. He's grown up in this. But David, something opened up, and he said, this is not about us. It's about Him. There is a covenant my fathers made, Abraham, when God called him out of the system of the world. God called him and introduced himself to him. And when God introduced himself to him, God started making covenant with him. And then God made a covenant. He says, from now on, your seed, I'm making a covenant. I'll be your God. I'll be your people. I'll be this. I'll be that. David went back to the foundation. And he found out his father was a friend of God. His forefather, Abraham. How can you be a friend of a spiritual God? He was not interested in all the rituals. Because of the sin of man, he was interested in relationship. He discovered the power of covenant, made them a special people to God, that have access to what his fathers and fathers had. He says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Timothy. Not was. If God is not a present tense, He doesn't exist for you. So, David started seeking to know his father, the God of his father. He wanted to have that friendship. He wanted to have that relationship. And he got the kind of job that can help him find that. Alone, taking care of cattle and sheep from the noise of war and all the things happening in the city. And this man, young boy, started crying out for God. My brothers and sisters, we can go all through the Bible. We read it, we know it, we quote it, we memorize it. But the reason I read this scripture to you, it summarizes exactly his priority in life. He was a worker. He did everything everybody else did, but he says, there's only one thing I have lost. There's only one thing my fathers have lost. The father, my grandfather had it. Abraham had it. Isaac had it. He spoke to them. He walked with them. There was a relationship. He looked around. I want that. I'm a covenant child. I want my father. So, David set on seeking to find what he knew was lost in their destiny. He wasn't, Israel wasn't short of cattle and cows and armies and whatever. He was looking for the God that is a friend, that is present in times of need. The God that is not far away. The God that made so many promises and covenant. He knew somehow, somewhere the ball has been dropped. And he must find that God. And he knew that was the one thing. Not two. It was the absence of God. The absence of him as the father of Israel. Not two. Because if you read through the rest of the Bible, when you find him, everything is. He will take care. And he mirrored Jesus so much that when Jesus came, God came in the flesh, he was quoting the words of David. And in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek you first the kingdom. You can't seek a kingdom, you seek the king to know his kingdom. The one thing Israel, your father has a kingdom and is a king. She quoted a scripture in worship, royal priesthood, called out of darkness, adopted into his marvelous light. So David said, it's one thing that we lost in the garden. It's one thing my father Abraham found. It's one thing that along the way we've lost. And that one thing is what I am going to seek after for my generation. If I'm able to find that one thing, it will be a generation that has found. David says in Psalms 120, he says, this is the generation that have received the blessings of the Lord. And David found God. He found it. He found the one thing. Listen to this. When he was growing up, and he was just growing into this knowledge of the covenant relationship, this covenant that gives him access to God from his forefathers, he realized their benefits. All the Psalms we read were not just, they are not letters. Remember, letters are experiences talking about people for our testimony. When David was just getting to know this one thing, he's not even getting to the depths of it yet. He had a test. He had trials. He faced things at his job place. Where he was working for his father. I don't know where you're working. Are you working for your father in your job place? Are you working for you? The jobs you're doing now, are you working for God there? Or are you just working because you're a professional? Because it depends on who you're working for that will defend your workplace and promote you. Because promotion comes not from the north or the east. In a secular world where there's jealousy, envy, and all kinds of accusation, God is your promoter. He was working for his father, taking care of sheep. And the devil took over a bear and said, I'm going to come and disrupt this business. I'm going to come and eat one sheep. The next day we'll come for another. David didn't say, what is a sheep? If he's working for a human being, he could say, they will understand. If I go back and tell them, you know, I was taking care of business here. I was doing this work you asked me to do as a supervisor, as a manager, and this situation came. They would say, a bear? Of course. You're okay. But if you're working for him in your job place, he has a solution more than the world can give. So David was working for God. And he knows God is a God of integrity. He says, bear, you're coming to me, your strength and your power, but I found that I'm a son. I am under the covenant of my father. And the God of my father says, I will fight for you, I'll go before you, I will defend you, I'll protect you. So, father, I'm your son. I have no power against this monster. But you have. He said, son, what do you have in your hand? He's sling and shot. Okay, go after him. And God put wind in that thing of the Holy Ghost. And a mighty bear was destroyed by a small boy who is a son. Knows where his strength comes from. Testing. I was going through something one time. You know, sometimes we always think when we go through trials, the enemy just wants to. Very, very tough situation. And I've come to my end and I just have to meet a deadline. And I was walking into the room, into from the room to the bathroom, and I heard a still small voice says, "I'm here. I'm your friend. You can trust me. It's done." And that very week, it was done. Supernatural. How do you get to the point where you hear a voice like that? Because I've come to my end. David didn't just wake up and he's never fought a bear before. He's never fought something. And he stepped up by faith as a son. And he saw a bear crushed by the power of God. You know what that would do to him? Basically, David became wild. That's one thing is the real thing. Now, I'm going to put my life into it. You read Psalms 42, you read Psalm 63, you read so many Psalms, and you see David grasping for God, describing it as almost, if I don't have your presence, it's like I don't have water to drink. If I don't have your presence, my flesh, everything in me is crying just to be with you. We're at the hotel in Atlanta, wedding. There's a scripture that has ever gripped my heart ever since I started crying out for God. And we're doing devotion, and Kezia read it. Immediately she read it, I was done. But I didn't know how to express it. It brought back to me memories. I felt like I'm backsliding. Because that scripture, David says, I watch for you. I look for you more than those that wait for the morning. He was so hungry not to be a pastor, not seeking God to be everything about David is, if I have you, you take care of the rest. You will do this job better. You do that better. I just have to be in your presence. I just have to be with you, my father. The prodigal son says, now that I know that you are the one thing I want, I don't care to be a slave, but just to be in your presence, because I can't lose you again. He found out you don't need too many tactics. You don't need too many strategy. There's one key, one master key, one strategy that informs every other strategy. The next was a lion. If you come to me, your strength, lion, I have one, the Lion of Judah. Then all these great people that have been training war, training all kinds of things, a nation known, economy of nations, strength of nation, agriculture, power of nation, kings, they were tested with a problem they cannot solve. How many problems, how many tests can we go through before we find out there's only one solution? That's God. All these professions, all these things we're doing, there's nothing wrong. But what are you going to do with Goliath in your life? Goliath is an embarrassment. The simple thing Goliath came to ask Israel, whose son are you? They could not answer. Because they had armor, they have sword, they have this, they have that. Every other thing they have still makes them a fallen man. That depends on his strength cannot go beyond the power of a Goliath. So, challenge. Who are you, Israel? Cross this line. So David came and heard this thing. Who is David? His brothers were right. What are you doing here, little boy? But David was a little boy in the flesh, but he was a son in the spirit. And David heard the voice of Satan mocking, "Where are the children? Where are the sons of God?" And he heard it. David knew. Just like some of us, we know it. Some of us, we know it in our head. Or some of us, you know it. When we say, "Greater is he that is in me." For David then it was, "I'm a circumcised. I'm a covenant child. I'm a seed of Abraham. I don't fight in my strength. I've inherited God. I've inherited protection. I've inherited power. And this that has no God, uncircumcised, is coming in his strength and is mocking us. What is the reward for this?" And Saul came. You all know the story. My brothers, that's the point I'm trying to make. The story is a person. If you don't understand what is behind the person, the story will always be in your head. They are written not for it to be here. They are written for us to become what they were. David killed Goliath. What's the Goliath in your house, in your family, the ministry? That's not where we're going. As we begin to summarize the whole message today, the Lord said to tell them, "What do you want outside of me? What is it you're seeking that is better than God? What is it that you give more time to that God doesn't have to give you better when you surrender to him?" If you go out there in the world and compete in your talent and strength, there are people, there are Goliaths out there that will make sure you don't go past this level. I'm around a lot of people every time. They are worried about prejudice here, insecurity here, insecurity here. It's human nature to be insecure when something is bigger than you. But kingdom, you rule as a son. Because you know who you are. Your father is the creator and has made you a ruler. That's what we lost. And that's what God is calling us to regain. What I share with you today is the whole Bible. But that one thing is the message of today. The Lord is saying that one thing is him. He's worthy of being sought after. He's worthy of our time. When David discovered this in the spirit and in the physical, God made him a king. Amen? How many of you know God made him a king? Okay. So now when God made him a king, you know what David did? He says, "I cannot sit on this throne." Psalms 132, go and read it. "I cannot sleep, I cannot sit on this throne until God takes his place first. Because he's really the ruler. I'm going to be in his presence and I'm going to hear how he wants me to rule." Amen? So they brought the ark, and that's the presence of God. My brothers and sisters, the presence of God It's not an empty air we worship. Prayer are not words we just speak. It's a relationship with the Father and the Son. It's a communion. It's a communication. It's a demand. It's a request between the Father. Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father." So, what David discovered, he was able to establish in his generation, called the Tabernacle of David. Why is the Tabernacle of David different from the Tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament? One was presence, the other one was ritual. So when he established the Tabernacle of Moses, the Tabernacle of David, and restored the heart, a man after my heart, after my presence, after me to wait on me, when he established that 24/7, David restored almost like the Garden of Eden type of mentality in Israel. The glory of God shone. For the 40 years David ruled, the Bible says it was a night and day worship of God from the Tabernacle of David. The same way you pay a finance minister, the same way you pay the military, the same way you pay this, the same way you pay everybody, David paid the highest to worshippers and musicians who hosts the presence of God. Almost 40,000 of them. David did not see the physical jobs different because the spiritual job was more real to him. And they were paid, set apart to host God. Do you know what happened? And that's the last scripture I want to read. You read this scripture many times, and sometimes we don't know what it means. Isaiah chapter 62. In Isaiah 62, after generations of Israel have come and gone and lost a taste, a reality of exactly why God raised up Israel as the place of Zion, the place of hosting God in the earth, the center where men come to seek after God, where Gentiles, heathens, come after God. They lost it. So in a corporate sense, Isaiah prophesied, and I want you to hear this prophecy. It says, "For Zion's sake," Isaiah 62:1, "I will not hold my what?" He lost something and he wants to get it back. "And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not what? Rest." What? "On what? Until the righteousness thereof go forth as what? Brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, until Israel becomes a light in the midst of the world again." Let's go to verse 6. So, as Isaiah was receiving this awakening of the destiny of Israel that David released upon the earth, the heart of God, hosting God, and putting God in his place in the earth in a corporate way. Isaiah 6 says, God himself says, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall what? Never hold their peace, day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent and give him no rest till he establish and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth, until I restore the glory that was lost." What is the glory? Until Jerusalem becomes a habitation of the presence of God and nations come to it. But the good news about this is, this was not just to Israel alone. Because then the church came. Prophecies for the church and for Israel. Customize one for the nation, one for this Gentiles who now were adopted and grafted in the vine through Christ. This prophecy also speaks. Remember this. It happens personally first. David had to be a seeker, a lover, somebody that says, I can't live without the presence of God, my Father. So now, in a corporate sense, he says, this is the call of the church. This is the call of the ecclesia. This is my heart. I want living stones where I can habit the praises of my people. Amen? So this prayer is, anywhere there is a tabernacle of, there was a tabernacle of David, a place where men wait upon God, seek after God through worship, through prayer, and all they are crying for is, God, we want to host your presence in the atmosphere of our city. He says, anywhere that you will find a people who will not rest, David Psalms wanted to say, I will not sleep, I will not give slumber until, and he found it in Ephrata. He says, wherever men will do that and be faithful and be sincere night and day, God says, I will make that place a praise. What does it mean for God to make a place a praise? Anywhere God comes is where sons of God are. Who are the sons of God? The ones who have been by covenant given inheritance of the presence of God. Sons don't work for inheritance. They inherit that which is being finished for them. We didn't pay a penny for this building, but it took time. This is a prime building in the city. Not a penny was paid. We inherited it. It's a landmark. This is just the beginning of the provisions of inheritance from the presence of the Lord. And some of you know, 2 million was added to this process. We didn't ask for it. When you wait and you sow in tears, God determines the season of your harvest. God is not after things, but is after souls. But there must be a place. God puts a seal and say, this is my son. So my brothers and sisters, Mount Zion have been practicing waiting on God for so many years. You ask David, or you ask somebody came from Uganda one time and said, every time for the past 12, 15 years I come, you people are just always here. I'm convicted. He cannot comprehend. When we were there, when we were at TLRE, anywhere we go, he comes here. It's prayer. It's worship. I don't understand it. When you found something that you've lost, no two things to God, and there's no shortcut. Out of this one thing we found to wait in him, God is doing amazing things from here in this nation with our strength. This house serves leaders all across America, from denominational leaders to African leaders, without efforts, all out of his presence, just waiting. My brothers and sisters, Mount Zion has been doing that for quite some time, and this year God says, what we are doing here take it now and bring it to this city. Let it be 24/7 worshiping this. One church can do it. It has to be the church of the city. David used over 40,000 people to do that. One church can do it. People have jobs, people have things they have to do. So God gave us a strategy. We shared it with the pastors, shared with the city, and everybody's excited. So this is what is happening now. This is what's going to happen. And get ready for what God will do in this city, because He says, what you've done in secret, I'm about to do reward openly. He says, there are 31 days in a month. He says, let every church adopt a day. And let them sign up people. This is 24-hour schedule. Sign up. Let husbands and wives sign up with their children. People sign up. Just take an hour. If you can't do an hour, take 30 minutes. Sign up a day, an hour you can pray. From your living room, from your bedroom, wherever. We're going to give. We're giving the same scriptures to the old churches in this city. You take that scripture. One, you're praying revival for your church. You're praying revival for the city. You're praying for different things that we specified in the city. So let's say there's a sign an hour and a marker. That hour they have committed, they will pray that prayer for this church and for this city. So when we put it here, everybody signs up. Miney signs up. Miney probably will sign up for 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. She's awake by that time. If you have problems sleeping at night, sign for night time. Amen. Maybe that's why you have that grace. So we sign up. We cover 24/7. Mount Zion can easily cover that because that's our lifestyle. But we want to give opportunity to everybody to sign up. You know why? Jeremiah 29:7 says, pray for the city where you are taken captive. In the blessing of the city, God will bless you. And that's why we are here in this building. God says, you've been sowing into this city. This is the beginning of you reaping the fruit of the city. So we sign up. So right now, Mount Zion has signed up in the 31 days of the month. We took the first day. We want to be an example because we want to share the vision. North Cleveland took which day? The third day. Westwood took the fifth day. Grace Assembly took the seventh day. Different churches are taking different days. On the National Day of Prayer, the whole city comes out this Thursday, Friday. This Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. We encourage you to sacrifice your break time and come and join us. And come, you can bring your lunch. Join us at the courthouse. The whole reason is, this is coming out of this house. If we're calling the city together, we are not there. How are we leading? The whole pastors in this city are on fire for this now. So we gather at the courthouse. The climax of the National Day of Prayer this year, 1 hour, is to introduce night and day prayer. Isaiah 62. Faith, action. And when you step out by faith, I believe God is about to do something. Can you just imagine every church, beginning with Mount Zion on the first day, 31 days of the month, you know every night you're sleeping, there are people praying for you. Every day you're walking, somebody is praying. 24/7, 7 days a week, somebody is lifting up an incense for the destiny of the city. If God is as faithful as I know Him to be, He will answer. And you want to be a part of that blessing. Amen? That's the vision God has called us. David cannot introduce it until he leaves it. Mount Zion could not carry the anointing to awaken the hearts of churches and churches if they did not know we leave this thing. And that's why they are responding. My brothers and sisters, showers of blessing. Amen? Amen. As the incense go up, so the fire comes down. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I thank God for you all. I pray, and I know your season has come. Please don't fight Goliaths in your strength. Don't fight the bear, the things that are coming against you, your mind, your home, your business, in your strength. Begin to offer incense in your closets. Like David, ask God to give you a renewed hunger, appetite, and taste for God's presence. So before we close, if you want to stand up with me. Some of us, like I started this morning, we have to graduate. There's only one thing the Lord wants to share today. To settle in your heart. To settle in your heart as we take communion. One thing today we have lost. And one thing God has restored. And that is His presence. That's His presence. If you have your communion, I want to just show you this as you take communion. Can you see this? This is a letter. How many of you get letters? No, this is letter. This is a letter. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This is a letter. Written for us. When somebody writes me a letter, I read it. Everything they wrote is about that person. But there's nothing like spending time with that person and being in that person's presence. When I'm in that person's presence, everything in this letter, he can answer. He can stand for. My brothers, as you take communion today, presence of God is here, is with you 24/7. It's time for you to know the person that wrote you this letter. She will lead us. See this bread when you take it? How many of you knows where he goes? When you eat it now, where does he go? He goes into your stomach. Huh? It's not a trick question. He goes into your stomach, isn't it? But what did Jesus say this is? The blood. And what does he say this wine we're going to take is? Basically saying you are sons of God. You are children of God. So as you take this communion today, he says, remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself who you are. Don't fight these devils as human beings. They will defeat you. They will condemn you. They will mock you. Remember who you are.
Father, as we stand before you on this first day of this month, we do confess, O God, that we have allowed distractions, busyness, fears, challenges, troubles, sorrows, so much, oh God, that have taken our attention. The Lord, we are focused on those things, those trials that were supposed to just bring us closer to you. We have allowed them to weigh us down. We have allowed them to bring us fear and all kinds of things. Today we confess that we have not focused on you. We have not walked consciously, noting that your presence is with us. We have fought battles that we couldn't win. We have troubled ourselves with things that we couldn't resolve. Forgive us. Have mercy upon us. Today, O God, we stand before you. Thank you for what you did for us at Calvary. The Lord, because of your death, we are truly one with you. Not just children, but heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, as we reenact this communion again today, we renew our covenant. Help us, O God, to remember that we are children of God. We are no longer slaves to fear. We are not slaves to challenges of life, because you have won the victory and you've given us that victory. Help us to walk out of here knowing, O God, that we are victorious with our heads held high, knowing that we are children of the Most High God, who will hold back nothing from us. As we partake of your body, as we partake of your blood, may they become real to us. May we live in that truth. Help us, dear Lord. We receive with thanksgiving. We remember what we did, what you did. And Lord, we flow with that this morning. And we say, blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, thank you for reminding us the one thing you came into this world for was to exchange the old for the new. We receive this new man, this newness. This is your blood that has adopted us. And today, we are heirs. Thank you for the inheritance. Thank you for releasing our inheritance. Thank you. Thank you for fighting our battles. Let this blood speak. Speak better things, greater things. Thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. The month of May, your blood will speak. Your blood will cover us. Your blood will defend us as the sons and daughters of God. We give you glory this day. In Jesus' name. Please sign up. As the Lord leads you, it's a commitment. If you can't do it, please don't sign up.